Welcome back to another edition of Talking Puck. I'm Tom Callahan at Callahan on Air on Twitter, joined as always by Jay Levin. He's at Bowtie Sports. And Jay, kind of trying to wrap our arms around the end of the NHL season and looking ahead to next season. We will do in a separate podcast. We'll tackle some of the news of the day. We'll talk about the coaching changes, the Vegas expansion, buyouts, all that. That's going to be a separate podcast. But for now, looking back, Pittsburgh Penguins, Stanley Cup champions. What are your thoughts on the series?
I mean, it pretty much lived up to all the expectations. It was a great series, competitive games. Pittsburgh's speed and depth just seemed to be too much in the end. And I mean, hats off to Pittsburgh. When you look at what they really went through the whole playoffs, I mean, the Penguins really did it by beating different teams in different ways. You know, opening up against the Rangers, you know, a very game tough team there. Washington Capitals, you know, a team that had put together one of the best regular seasons we've seen over the last decade or two. Tampa Bay Lightning, I mean, that was one of the fastest series we've seen in terms of playoff matchups and the pace of play by both teams. And then doing a complete 180 to go up against the Sharks and the grind bit cycle game that the Sharks use. I mean, very impressive how the Penguins were able to kind of reinvent themselves each round and found a way to make it through.
You know, and something I'm going to want to get to here in a little bit, disappointments and of teams that made it through the playoffs or didn't go very far, or maybe didn't even make it at all, and then teams that maybe exceeded expectations. I think the balance of power is changing a little bit in the NHL, and I think you could fairly argue that maybe even as recently as Christmas, Pittsburgh was not one of the NHL power teams. Yes, they had the roster, they had the talent, but they weren't playing that way. And I think you talk about the reinvention round by round, but I go all the way back to when they made the coaching change. I think that that's really, it's such an impressive thing, and it mirrored exactly what they did in 09. They brought in a new coach in Dan Bylsma. He got the horses all charging in the right direction, the same direction. They went on to win the cup that year. It smacks of exactly what happened before. So, you know, Pittsburgh, I think, did a great job, not only in the playoffs, but also in the regular season, of just getting it going in the right direction. And you talked about coaching all series long, and I think that's a tip of the cap to Coach Sullivan.
Yeah, I mean, really, Coach Sullivan and the whole staff. I mean, Tom, you and I have been in enough NHL locker rooms that the head coach, you know, gets a lot of the credit, takes a lot of the blame, but it's really a full staff effort there. So, you know, I don't want to short the rest of the Penguins staff there. They just, a whole group of them, tremendous job. Just have to tip your cap to them and the ability to get everyone on that team on the same page.
One of the other things, too, Jay, that I want to go ahead and put out there now, and I really feel like this is going to be a topic that's going to get knocked around here over the course of the summer as we get through the draft and free agency. There are people talking about, oh, well, the Sharks are now, they've shown themselves that they're a team, they're for real, they can make it to a final, they can make all this happen. I don't know about that. I think this might have been their last year in the window. I think they may have actually aged themselves out, unless some of these younger guys, who we saw a little bit of, are able to really step up and replace a Marleau and a Thornton. And it just, this is not a young team. And I think people are looking past that a little bit because you see the Pavelskis, you see the Couture's, you know, I feel like those two very key pieces to the puzzle didn't show up in the final. And because of that, the team really struggled.
Well, even Pavelski isn't a young guy by NHL standards.
True.
Anymore. So I agree with you there a bit on the Sharks. And also, I mean, let's take a look back at the path the Sharks had. They wound up getting a lot of matchups that favored them. I mean, I don't want to say lucky because, shoot, to win three rounds in the playoffs, it takes a lot more than luck. I mean, they're a very skilled team, very good. I don't want to take anything away from them. But the Kings and the Blues were two teams that wanted to slow the tempo down and play extremely physical. That played into the same style that the Sharks wanted to play. The Sharks just were able to play that style better. We saw it in the series against Nashville that when teams stressed them with speed, that the Sharks struggled a little bit. San Jose had the talent, had the health, had some other things on their side, and were able to get past Nashville. But Pittsburgh then exposed it. If they get into a playoffs next year and wind up against a speed team in the first round, even if they're playing at the same level, they might not be able to get out of that first round just because of the matchup.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, will be interesting to see if they're able to do it, how much they will have. You know, they really had to have the horses going, and for the most part they were. Thornton, Marlowe, Couture, Pavelski, all these guys had good playoffs, but then all of a sudden Thornton was noticeably absent in the final, Marlowe noticeably absent in the final, and it's the older guys who I think that had a little bit of the problem there, and they need those guys to be going. I don't know if they can do it for 100-plus games. And that's really why I bring it up and wonder if the window is over there. All right, I want to throw back out there real quick, Conn Smythe consideration. The more I think about it, and I know there's been some media defenders of Sidney Crosby and his choice as Conn Smythe, but I think a lot of people scratch their heads over this one. And the more I think about it, even in hindsight, I really feel like if I was going to vote for a guy in the Penguins, it probably would have been Chris Letang over Sidney Crosby.
I've got a very hard time even putting Crosby in my top three among Penguins. Like, forget everyone. I mean, even among the Penguins. I mean, I said it in the podcast earlier before Game 6, you know, that I wasn't all that high on Murray. But, man, the more I kind of think back to what Murray did, the more I'm kind of warming to the idea of him. You take a look, really, at the definition of most valuable player. Well, look at what the Penguins did with him and without him. They were a below 500 team with Zatkoff and Fleury in net. They won the cup with him in net. I mean, that's almost the picture-perfect definition of most valuable player. I mean, you see what they did with his replacement and with him. I'm with you on Letang. I also think, you know, that HBK line, Hagelin, Bonino, Kessel was their most explosive, best line through the duration of the playoffs. Kessel was the alpha on that line. So I'd make a strong case for him over Crosby as well if you're looking for a forward from the Penguins.
And now that we put the wrap on the whole series here, I mean, Penguins win it in six, which you did call at the beginning of the series. I thought maybe it was going to be the Sharks do, but for a lot of reasons, which we just talked about a little while ago there, they end up not finishing. So I want to kind of wrap things up. And this is something, perhaps it's even a separate podcast for us, but looking at some of these success stories, some of the disappointments coming out of this Stanley Cup playoffs, I got to say, I think Pittsburgh, again, put themselves back on the map. That's a big success story. I think the Sharks, it is a success story, although it's going to be one they're harder pressed to kind of keep going here. But any other teams that come to mind for you as far as either overperforming or underperforming?
Well, I mean, let's take a look at the two Florida teams. I mean, the Panthers, if you had told someone beginning of the year that they would have had the type of season that they had, I'm not sure anyone would have believed you. So, you know, disappointing to lose in the way that they did, but I think you got to say that they've positioned themselves well moving into next season. The Lightning last year went to the Cup Finals. I don't know how many people fully expected them to be able to make a serious challenge of that again this year, especially once Stamkos went out. So I think those are two teams that kind of stood out to me. On the downside, I mean, boy, for the last 5-6 years, it's been Chicago, LA, Chicago, LA. Who's the big dog in the block in the NHL? And both of them bounced early. I mean, that's got to be a little head scratching. It'll be interesting to see if that's a harbinger of things to come, or if it was just a one off bad luck series matchups for those two.
You know, with Chicago, I was going to go the opposite direction and say it's not necessarily a disappointment. They ran into a Blues team that I thought was an absolute buzzsaw, and I really liked St. Louis coming into this playoff year. Anaheim's a disappointment for me. That team, I think, was better than it showed or should have been better than it showed. But at the end of the day, they just couldn't figure out the goaltending, and it killed them. A team that I think overperformed, the New York Islanders. The Islanders actually showed they are a pretty good team right now. The question for the Islanders, just like a lot of teams will be facing this offseason, can they keep the core together? And that's going to be the real question for the Islanders. I really like, though, to see, you mentioned those younger teams like Florida Panthers, the New York Islanders, like a lot of these cores that are coming together right now. Dallas, I feel like we could have expected more out of Dallas, but again, the Blues were just such a good team this year that I had a hard time seeing how anybody but St. Louis was coming out of the division. But you know what? That's why we got to play the game. So,
and it also, when you talk about Dallas, you know, take a look at preseason expectations. If you had told someone beginning of the year Dallas Stars are going to win the Central Division, not sure too many people would have, you know, would have bid on that. So, you know, again, hard to see after the regular season they put in, getting through the first round. Hard to say that that was not a successful season for the Dallas Stars.
Dallas, in my book. Dallas is going to have to figure out the goaltending situation, too. There's a lot of interesting stuff we can get into, and we will. You and I will have a lot to talk about between now, certainly, and July 1st, and we will get into all that. Coaching changes, expansion, we've got buyouts on the horizon, the draft is coming up, and then, of course, July 1, teams get to start sniffing around a little bit, having some conversations. So we will certainly have more coming your way here with the Talking Puck podcast. Check out the blog, talkingpuck.wordpress.com. Follow Jay and I on Twitter. We're on there a lot. I'm at Callahan on air. He is at Bowtie Sports. And we will catch you soon again here when we get back at it with another episode of the podcast, Talking Puck. Thanks for listening, everybody.